Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Maybe we can just linger in that thought for a moment. Just honoring what Jesus did on the cross. Being reminded that what he did was not for just anyone. It was for everyone. And what he did was our story of redemption. Our story of restoration. Because we all have a story, a place where we've come from. And as we meditate on that, let's prepare our hearts for the message today as we pray. Father, we look to you this morning. We look to you on this Mother's Day because you made our mothers. And we want to hear from you today what we need to keep us going, to keep us focused on this journey, this path. And so I pray this morning that as we unfold your word, as we unpack what you have to say to us, that our hearts would be renewed, restored, redeemed once again. By your great story. That's what we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, it is good to be here on this Mother's Day. If you've been with us, you know we've been in our series, What's Next? But we're going to take a break, literally like a break, stop the car. We're going to take a break and we're going to take a little sidetrack here today. And we're going to talk about legacy, the hope of the future. See, legacy is important because without legacy, there's nothing left after we're gone. So I want to share with you the definition of legacy by Merriam-Webster. It's kind of interesting. It says it's a gift of property, especially personal property, as money by will or a bequest. And you're going, huh, that's probably not the legacy you were thinking I was going for, were you? Well, there's part two. Let's get to part two. Isn't legacy something more than something materialistic left behind? Here's the second part of the definition. It's more appropriate for our topic today. Anything handed down from the past as from an ancestor or a predecessor. So legacy is not only materialistic. In fact, I think in the church often we think of legacy as something far different than something materialistic. But usually it's something that's passed down generation to generation. Now, if you think about this, though, most legacies are only passed down a generation or two, maybe three or four at the very most. Legacies kind of stop there. They're kind of just, they fade out. They fall away. But let's take a look at a legacy that had an impact even up until today. Now, one myth we want to dispel up front today, and you'll see this unfold in our story, is it's never too late, and you're never too bad to be able to leave a legacy. All right, so in the back of your mind, I want you to hold on to that thought. It's never too late, and you're never too bad to leave a legacy. Legacies usually stem from faith. It is by faith in doing the right thing, trusting the right person, and walking in step or obedience that usually causes a faith to carry on. Faith overcomes the greatest fears and opens doors to even greater possibilities. Faith overcomes the greatest fears and opens doors to even greater possibilities. Man, it's so exciting because we're going to unpack this today and you're going to be like, whoa, I promise you at the end, okay? So we're going to take a look at someone who you might think is unlikely in God's story. And you're probably going to be thinking the whole time, what is he doing? Stay with me, stay focused, okay? We're going to jump around a bit today, but we're going to start in Hebrews 11 because Hebrews 11 is a book about faith. Hebrews 11, 1-2 says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." This is what the ancients were commended for. The reason we're starting with this today is because without hope, we would not have anything to look forward to. Without hope, there is no purpose in legacy. Without hope, why would we even try to leave a legacy? It is hope that gives us cause to overcome fear by using faith. Think about that. It is hope that helps us to overcome or gives us cause to overcome fear by using, what's the key there? Faith. Without hope, there is no purpose in life. Without hope, without something to look forward to, there is no purpose in life. And since faith is needed to have hope, let's look at an unlikely person to have this kind of faith. An ancient, as the writer of Hebrews describes them. Now we're going to turn down a few more pages or verses there in verse 31, Hebrews 11, 31, same chapter. And it says this, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, I know, just hold the applause, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. Now read that several times. By faith, the prostitute received something. By faith, who? Rahab, the prostitute. If your Bibles are open to Hebrews, just glance down a little bit. Glance around that passage, because you're going to see the company of which God writes this story about Rahab. Who is she in the midst of in this story? There's a bunch of people there that you're going to be like, what? Yeah, Abraham is in this story in Hebrews. Isaac, Joseph, Moses, and even Moses' parents. They were all listed here. They had all had a legacy. They all had put their faith in action. And Rahab is listed amongst them. Their legacy was driven by what?
Faith.
Faith. By faith, yes. What was it that caused the writer of Hebrews to include a prostitute in this list? I mean, you think about all these other guys and you're like, wow, yeah, Abraham was so willing to offer his son and listen to God. Moses, who led the people out of Israel. Joshua, who led the people into the promised land. I mean, here these people are among this, and he puts Rahab in here. Now, I know that not everyone on this list is an angel, because we know that Moses killed a man. Okay, so we know that he's not perfect, but there's something, there is a common thread. We're going to get there. You know, the other thing is, if you scroll down to verse 32, the author lists some names, but doesn't list accomplishments. He lists Samson and Gideon, but doesn't list their accomplishments. So there must be some significance that he would list this young lady's name. So let's go back and find out the story. So you're going to have to flip back in your Bible to Joshua 2. And they'll be on the screen for you. We're going to look at verses 1 through 7 to start. Joshua 2. That's right before Judges. That helps you.
Ready to run.
There you go.
Thank you,
Danny. So, as you can read in the story here, Joshua had sent two spies to look over the land. He sent two spies into Jericho to look over the land. When they arrived, they had to find a place where they could look over the land. Now, Rahab's house, as we're going to find out later in the story, was located in the wall. Her house was up in the city wall, as part of the city wall. If we recall from Nehemiah, the wall around Jerusalem was so wide, it would have actually had homes built in the wall. Think about how big this wall was in order to be living in the wall. And Rahab had a house in the wall. Her window actually faced outside the city, we'll find out. She at least one's facing outside the city. And this would give them a really good vantage point. I mean, they could be in her house and see the whole city because they were on the wall. They were on the outer skirts. It was high. It had to be high to be around the city. So they could go up in this house and see. But why did they pick her house? Why not any other's house? I'll tell you why. Because Rahab was a prostitute. And two Israelites coming from out of town would not seem suspect to go to a prostitute's house, even if they were Israelites. It wouldn't seem that out of the norm. Visitors would come there all the time. That's what the prostitutes did. They welcomed visitors into their home. It's not something you're proud of, but that's what she did. Well, somehow the king got wind of these two Israelites. And apparently stories have been circulating. We're going to get to that in a minute too. So the king had some fear. So he sends out a messenger to Rahab's house and says, hey, hand over those men that came. And she was like, In this moment, Rahab had to make a decision, didn't she? I want you to think about this. She had to make a decision to obey the king, a man she had seen, right? She lived in the city of Jericho. Certainly she had seen the king. She had certainly seen the guards of the king. That could have struck fear in her. She knew this man, this king, had power. He had army. He had resources. And yet, she made a decision. She made a decision of faith. To trust these men were sent from someone she had never seen. Someone she knew nothing about. Something that could be a farce. She had to make a decision in that moment to say, I'm going to believe in this God, this man, these things I heard stories about, but I've never seen anything from him. The king, she would have seen things from. The king watches over his kingdom. He's protecting his kingdom. He could have protected her if she trusted in him. But she chose to make a choice of faith. She chose to trust what she had heard about this God and these people and told the messengers that the men had left before the gate was shut. They're gone. They left before you missed them. They're already left. Meanwhile, she had hid them on her roof. She sent the men off in a different direction looking for them, the messengers and the guards. Think about this. Rahab had no idea of the outcome of her decision in that moment. In fact, her life could have changed for the better if she had thought she saw the future. She could have been praised as the hero. You saved the kingdom because you turned in these slaves, or these messengers, or the spies. Sorry, you got my point. But instead, God had a plan, and she had a legacy to fulfill. Now, faith and legacy still involve reason. Since she had put her faith in something she had not seen, she wanted some insurance about that, and that she would her household would be saved. Her opening statement to the men after she sent the messengers in the opposite direction is one of not only great faith, but what Joshua sent the men to find out. This land was given to them by God in verse 8. She acknowledged that the people, including herself, had heard of what the Lord had done for his people. But how would she have known that the land was theirs? How would Rahab have had this knowledge? Maybe the stories of God making a way in the past were enough to move her to faith. Isn't that the case for people today? Don't people move towards faith because they've seen what God has done in others' lives? The stories about what God has done? That's why your testimony, church, is so important. Your testimony is important to your legacy. In fact, I would say that your testimony feeds your legacy. It's what drives your legacy. I still talk about my grandfather because I can remember my grandfather sitting in his chair reading the Bible night after night. Was the man perfect? No, he was not perfect. But he sought after God. He tried to make the Lord a priority. He would speak to people about God all the time. Did he make mistakes? Yes, but he still had a legacy because he lifted up the Lord. I'm kind of proud of that. I can't remember. He told me one time how many times he had already read through the Bible. I was like, wow, Papa, I've never read all the way through it. Since then, I've changed that statistic, but he did. He did. So she asked the men to treat her and her family kindly. Pause with that moment, with that word right there, kindly. Just pause. Think about that. She had no idea how they would respond. See, she could have had in mind simply to have their lives spared and just to be slaves to the Israelite people. So listen, hey, just treat us kindly. I just want to live, and you can just be kind to us. If you're going to make us your slaves, would you please just be kind to me and my family? That's what she was asking. She had no idea what God was going to do. I bet you're wondering what God's going to do. Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there. Her main concern was that they were just saved from death. And the men assured her that she would be saved since she had saved them. Your life for our life. Sure, we'll save you. But she would not be able to tell anyone their plan. If she opened her mouth, As she spread the word that these men were coming, that God's people were coming, all deals were off. If they walked outside of this house, her family was done. If anybody spoke of this and anybody knew, the deal was done. If she would do this, though, she would be treated kindly, not only kindly, but look, they said, we're going to treat you not kindly, but also faithfully. We're going to be faithful to you. And pick up in verse 15. This is where she lowers them to the safety, from the window of her house in the wall. Now think about that. Here's this prostitute woman rescuing these two spies from Israel, lowering them down out of this window to safety. How was that not seen? I just don't know. Unless God just moved every eye away. I mean, these Israelite men were seen going into her house, but yet they were not seen being lowered out of a window. You tell me. Just an aside here, as you can see, that this verse talks about her house being in the wall. Have you ever thought about that? I mean, when you were in Sunday school, I think I was when I was in Sunday school, you imagined the wall of Jericho being maybe 2 feet wide, right? So the people could walk along it, they would guard it, and then the wall would go tumbling down, right? When your Sunday school lessons, maybe you remember that. Church, this wall was big enough to have a house in it. It was huge. And after 6 days of marching around it, God's people saw it fall. When people say God can't do, I want to remind them of what he's already done. Amen. He tumbled a wall. Now, and when you think about it, you're like, wow. Rahab and her family would be saved, right? She would have to do something to be saved. But think about this wall. This wall tumbled down. You know, I don't even remember in the story in Sunday school. I remember the wall coming down, but I never remember of anything about the story about one house being left standing in the wall. Do you ever remember that? No. But Rahab was saved. Her family were in this house, and so God made the whole wall fall down except for this one house. How big is the God we serve? Amazing. Amazing. Awesome. Now think about this. Rahab really stepped out in faith, didn't she? Not only did she hide them, she lied to the king to save them. And she goes on to give them instructions on how not to get caught. She's like, hey, go here for 3 days, hide here, and you'll be okay. They'll be done. But in order for her to be saved, they said, okay, listen, here's what I need you to do. The spies told her that you would have to tie a scarlet cord in the window. Now, this color on the screen is the color scarlet. It's often thought of as a color of blood. The color was often used in religious ceremonies in the time. It was very hard to come by. It was expensive. But it was interesting, when I was looking for this picture of scarlet, I found the definition of scarlet. And it was really unsuspecting when I found it. It caught me off guard. It's defined as an offense or a sin that is heinous. So not only was this cord hanging in her window to say that, you know, this was her statement, you know, this red cord. But it's saying the sin. She was kind of hanging her sin out for everybody to see it. But it was her sin that saved her. It was her hanging that sin out there that had saved her. This color is often associated with wickedness. And she had to hang this from her window. That's what was going to save her and her family. Constant reminder of her bad choices, her sin, to hang there. And it must have hung there for a little while, because the guys were in the wilderness for 3 days. They had to go back and report to Joshua. And we don't know how much time passed between the time that they got back there and started marching around the wall. But minimum 10 days is what I'm guessing, because they marched around the wall for 10 days. So for 10 days, or 6 days, sorry, they marched around this wall for 6 days. So for 10 days, this thing stood outside of her window, marking her, mocking her. But this should not be discouraging to us. In fact, it should be encouraging, because the same idea is modeled on the cross. Jesus' blood was spilled out and put on display for all to see. His blood was representative of our sin, of our wickedness, of what we did wrong. And when he hung on that cross, that was our sin hanging there for all to see. The penalty he paid for our wickedness. But it is that sin, it was that sin that God used his purpose to set us free, to set Rahab free. Rahab's sin was not wasted. God even used her miscomings to display his power and plan. Now you might think right now, what in the world, or why in the world, would we choose to talk about a prostitute on Mother's Day? Because God's plan and his power is displayed in such a great way here. And the story is just getting started. Do you want the rest? Do you want the rest of the story? Okay. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. In Matthew chapter 1, we find the lineage of Jesus. Verse 5, Solomon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was who? Rahab. In the middle of the story, we see some redemption here.
Amen.
Boaz was born through an Israelite father, and the story kept going. You know who Boaz is? Boaz married Ruth, right? And the story just keeps going. And then if you scroll down to the end of this story, Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. This is Jesus' lineage. Rahab is in Jesus' father's lineage. I don't know about you, but as I get this, think about this, I get chills down my back. Because God's story is absolutely amazing. Something impacted her. She had faith. And somehow along the line, once she was saved, she went to live with the Israelites and married this man, Solomon. And her life was changed forever. But she had to do something in the beginning. God has a way of using her to tell his story. Do you know that the same is true for us? That if we're willing to step out in faith, if we're willing to set a legacy that matters, that points to God, he's willing to use us as well to tell his story. He takes our broken and sinful lives and displays his grace through it. You tell me there's no grace in this story, I tell you, you're crazy. There's all kinds of grace all over the place. He could have done it any other way. But he chose to write the story this way. One woman who opened her house up. He could have sat up on a hill. He could have found a high spot. He could have found another way. He could have sent a decoy in. He could have sent doves in. He could have done anything he wanted. But he chooses a prostitute to write his story. Being a mom is a tough job. It has moments where you wonder if you should have ever been a mom. I promise you, if you've been a mom, I'm sure that happens. I got a little story for you. See, you know, sometimes moms get defeated. They feel like they haven't done what they need to do or they messed up. So there's this mom, and she's got this birthday party for her son. It's not his birthday. It's one of his friend's birthdays. And she has two sons. And so this boy gets invited to the birthday party, and the younger son says, you know, Mom, I want to go. Why can't I go? You know, I want to go to the birthday party. What do you mean I can't go? She goes, no, you stay with your dad today. So they make an arrangement. Dad's going to take him the sheets. They get all dressed up and get to the party, and Mom's there with some of the other moms, and she says something like, my son's in class with your son. And she goes, and her son comes walking up at the time, and she goes, oh, no, that son's not in my class. It's your other son. So she calls her husband and goes, abort, get him here right now. So see, moms kind of mess up sometimes, but it's okay. It's okay, because God uses that to write stories, right? We're all going to mess up. It's not just isolated moms. We're all going to mess up. But what we saw in the story today is even through our mistakes, through our sins, if we keep stepping out in faith, trusting we have a job to do, God will not only redeem us from our sins, He will give us a legacy to carry on long after we are gone. Not one generation, not two generations, not three generations, not four generations. It doesn't have to stop. You get my point? Look, Rahab, go way back. Way back. So don't think that you don't have a purpose. Moms, I want to remind you today, you are on a mission. And it's easy to remember. Mom, mothers on mission. All right? You have a mission. And no matter what stage you're in, you have a purpose in life. God has a plan and a legacy for you to leave. So be encouraged and stay focused, because your decision to walk in faith rather than to shrink back in fear and complacency, it matters. Now you see these plants on the floor behind me, and you're thinking, Ron, what are you doing with these plants? There's a bunch of hosta plants, if you're not with us today, on the floor behind me. And they're all in different stages. Some of you noticed this potted one, and it's kind of nice. It looks like it's probably one of the healthiest ones here out of the group, I think, yeah? It looks like it. And from this side, it looks great. But if we pick it up and we look at the back side, the roots are just bursting to get out of this pot. In fact, I would say that it's the pot that held the plant from growing any bigger than it is. If you'll notice, the other plants are much taller, most of them. And they've grown higher and bigger than this plant because it was kept in a pot. It was wrapped up real tight. Moms, don't hold you tight to your children. You got to let them go. You got to give them room to go. Do you know that all these pots have different aspects to them? If there's one here that's kind of leaning because something was hovering over it. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't think I need to go too far there, right? It's kind of leaning one direction instead of standing up straight. It needs room to see the sun, to let it go. And then you got the little pot over here, the little plant. He's baby plant. And he's just preparing to go. Now I'm going to tell you. And then you got one here. This is pretty big, right? It's kind of growing. It's going crazy. So what's going to happen is, if you put a kid out in the world, your legacy can continue if you don't smother them. If you give them the freedom to go and grow. All of these hosta came from another hosta. They came from another plant. They've split and been grown. And they keep multiplying. And their legacy continues. And you take these plants home, which, moms, you get to take one of these home, everyone except the one in the broken pot. You take one of these home, and you want to plant it in your garden, and I'm going to promise you, Ron's going to stand here and make a promise to you, because I know my God, that this plant's going to grow. It's going to get big, and it's going to multiply, and you'll be able to give some away. And you'll be able to tell this story that you heard on Mother's Day about Rahab the prostitute who had a legacy to continue. And you can tie it to this plant. And you pass it on to your kids or maybe your grandkids. And tell them about this story. Don't let it die here. Yeah, we're here to celebrate mothers today. But we're also here to see God's story unfold. So would you pray with me? God, we thank you for your story and how you redeemed. We thank you for Rahab's faith and how she stepped out and did what most wouldn't. She didn't see the immediate reward, but she saw the long term. She saw your faithfulness, and she wanted to trust you. And I pray today that if there's anyone in this room who has not put their faith in you, that they would, or someone listening today. Or if there's anyone here who's kind of doubting where they are in life and they're kind of questioning what's next, that you would just restore and renew that motivation for them, that a legacy is yet to be given, that there's more to the story. It's not over yet. We saw how the lineage of Jesus was affected by Rahab's decisions. And we pray this morning that you would continue that kind of legacy in each of our lives. And that legacy would extend far beyond what we could ever imagine. I pray in Jesus' name.